2012 to order. And ask Edie if you would roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cuddaback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble. Hanford.
Here.
You were in Mr. Gamble tonight? I'm not having any.
Benji.
No, I didn't hear you. Present. Okay, well, tonight we are honored to have both Troop and PAC 148, both Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, a number of individuals join me at 6:30 for a brief time of questions and answers. I tell you some tough questions indeed, and I appreciate that. We also took a very quick tour of the facility this evening. All part of meeting, somebody remind me here, it's a requirement. Somebody yell out, what was the requirement?
EDC.
Was it for a badge?
Huh. It depends on what year they're
okay.
But right. Boy Scouts are earning their citizenship in the
EDC. Oh, very good. All right, great. Let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has now made his way through the so before the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd like to introduce a number of young men will help lead us this evening. And I'll call your name. If you would just please come forward and stand right here in front of the chairs, and then we'll have you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm just going to go by first names. Howie, Josh, Kai, Kelson, Graham, and Jacob. If you guys would come straight up here in the front, right next to the table up here. All right. Okay. We're going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then when you're ready, you may lead us, okay? Some of you guys were planning on staying. For those of you who are not, this is going to be the perfect opportunity for you to kind of skip out, because right now we do have the need for an executive session. No? Okay. That was the meeting I was supposed to have at the beginning.
No executive session.
We are going to go, okay, then right into the first action item here under business and action, and that is a public hearing. With regards to a moratorium on cannabis collective gardens. There it is.
Take this time to develop these regulations that will be prepared for when the moratorium is ready to expire, when the
throughout the community, and what sort of buffers should we ask for, say, distance from schools, daycare, trips, and that sort of thing. Basically, where are they allowed, and where would they be allowed to locate, and how might they be regulated when they're in place? So
if,
add that.
We'll use the word if. We'll use the word if, not when, but because we don't know for sure yet. There's also the question of legality, because we do have two differing opinions, one both federal and the other state. So we are having our legal, or our attorney, look into the legalities and the position that the city might be in terms of meeting, you know, both federal and state law that regulate the use of cannabis. So, right, any questions for Paul? With that said, then we will open up the podium for comments from the community. This portion is specific to the moratorium on cannabis collective gardens. I didn't get a sign-up sheet, so I didn't see one yet.
Nobody's turned anything in.
Okay. If there is anybody in the audience who would like to speak on this evening's public hearing topic, we invite you to come to the podium, present your name and address for our record, if you would, and then please limit your time to 5 minutes. Is anybody wanting to speak tonight on the moratorium on cannabis? Okay, Councilmember Gearing.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second. Okay. Motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Cutaback to close the citizen's portion of the public hearing. Citizen comment portion of the public hearing. Councilmember Gearing. Okay. Seeing no lines, we're hearing. Councilmember Hanford.
The training that I'm going to right now on this weekend for the council members. I noticed that on the agenda they have, this is one of the topics, how it affects, you know, our cities. So I'm looking forward to that training and to bring some kind of report.
Okay, well, there's a motion here on the floor. No other lights are on, so we'll take a vote at this time. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Council, any questions at this time or direction for staff? Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. Paul, what kind of direction are you looking for? Obviously, we want you to do the research, and we're expecting something back, of course, but what is it specifically that you're looking for us to provide direction on?
Well, there are two areas, I guess, that we intend to deal with. One has to do with business licenses. Should these businesses be allowed to open in the community, they will be required to have a business license, and that business license will fairly explicitly state or reinforce the fact that if we, as a city, grant a business license, the applicant, not the city, is obligated to comply with any state or federal laws. The city has no role in ensuring that other laws may be adhered to. That's one thing. The other has to do with these bulk regulations, should they be needed, that deal with, you know, we need to decide how these might be located, whether they're together or dispersed, and what sort of distances we need for buffers from, you know, specifically, like I said, like a school, for example, or from one business to another, say one collective garden location to another, so that they are not concentrated unless we choose to do so. So there are a number of different iterations to this. I dealt with this in Arizona before I left. We were all scrambling to create regulations because of the similar legislation in NASA. So it's fairly straightforward, but there are some basic decisions to be made. We'll come back with some options, and as we
you mentioned location, which is great. I think it's important to discuss that, and would expect you guys to give back some recommendations with regard to where that might be. Actually, I didn't know if there were any limits in the law as far as, you know, this much must be allowed, you know, at least with, you know, what we have right now.
I'm not really familiar with the law as it's been passed, but I would expect that our regulations would deal with the size of or area of the project. It might deal with things like operating hours, any number of things. So we will have a menu of choices, I think, and we'll build a project.
And perhaps some regarding security.
Yes.
Security would be key to people. And again, you're saying that's on the applicant. But, I mean, it does end up being our responsibility, you know, when people are not licensed.
Right.
So I mean,
right.
There's that aspect to take into consideration as well. So.
And there may be some kind of special with some sort of application that deals with the kind of questions that have to be met, or the requirements that have to be met for the business of this thing. That'll be a part of the use of regulations. So let's make sure and cover from beginning to end.
Location, size, and then security would be the ones that I would choose. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor Gary. Councilor Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. You had mentioned that there's some conflicting information with respect to state law versus federal law. Is there currently a case being heard, and if so, do you have any information on when that's the decision is expected to be made?
I'm not aware of that right now at this point. I just know that, you know, the federal government is illegal to grow and use marijuana, and that's a very layman's understanding of the federal laws. State law has provided for medicinal use in certain cases, and so I do know that in some research, not necessarily here in the state of Washington, but other states, you know, the federal government have made raids and have shut down, you know, a number of I don't want to call them dispensaries. I'm not aware of anything with regard specifically to the growing or the gardening of cannabis at this point.
Is our legal counsel then looking into that at this point? You know, I guess I'm teetering on the fence of, are we being proactive, or are we doing something that's going to be a waste of time if it's, you know, proven that it's not even legal anyways? And, you know, so
I spoke with the council today and yesterday about this. You will be at our next meeting to put that on the agenda. He and I have been exchanging ideas about what needs to be done, and he will, I think, try to address this state federal issue that every jurisdiction has. I can't really give any information on that at this point. Just don't know.
Councilmember Gannon.
Councilmember Williams really got to ask the questions that I had. I just want clarification.
Yes,
because it's against the law. I mean, from federal law. So I'm just, my concern is that we're talking about permits and applications for something that federal law says is against the law. So that'll all be interesting to see.
It was interesting. I don't normally watch this channel, to be honest. CNBC had a program just last night on cannabis, and it was quite interesting, the battles that are going on throughout the nation between adhering to federal law and states' independence and their ability to regulate. I don't think it's going to be a question that we're going to answer here in Monroe. What I want to be sure of as we move forward is that we're not going to proceed in any way that would hold the city of Monroe liable, I guess it's a good word, Chief. You know, I mean, but we don't want to. We
violate our oath.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, we just took the oath here recently, and I remember the first part of that was violating any federal law. And when you're doing some research on this thing beforehand, I mean, that's my biggest, you know, concern.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, first to the Constitution of the United States, then to the Constitution of the State of Washington, then to the ordinances.
And everything that I've seen where you kind of have this it's that, you know, the federal law, I mean, it's against the law. They just have chosen not to act. And that's a not a good place to be in that. Anyway, I'd be interested to see. All right. Thank you, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I just have a question about scope. Now, is it just, are we including dispensaries in this as well? I mean, when I read collective garden, I picture granted a growing item, but it's not dispensaries. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Not dispensaries.
State law only allows, at the current time, after the veto by the governor, is just the collective garden is the only thing that's allowed, which allows up to 10 patients, up to 15 plants per patient, with no more than 45 plants per garden.
Can we get a copy of the state law?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Chief. All we're doing here is operating within what's been passed by the state law, trying to comply with the state law. By having the moratorium and looking at regulations, it doesn't mean that we that we're going to license these businesses and the like, but we have an obligation, I think, as a city to have things in place should it become the legal decision that the state law would override whatever the federal law is at this time. There have been counties and cities within the state that have taken a stance that the federal stance, and they're currently in litigation at this point because they're trying to enforce the federal statute when the state statute allows it. There are cities that allow it at this time. City, I believe, Mukilteo allows it. City of Seattle allows it. So all we're doing here is trying to be prepared.
Paul, just for confirmation, tonight does not begin the moratorium. The moratorium was actually enacted last month, so we have up until 6 months. If additional time is needed for research and so forth, the council can then possibly extend the moratorium for another brief time, but at some point the city council is going to have to make a policy decision here. So we just wanted to be clear. All of the impacts that this could have. Councilmember Carrion mentioned three that were very concerning to me: the location and especially security. I think is essential for an operation like this because we want to be sure that it's not available or easily available. So we can potentially go beyond what state calls for. Hold another public meeting, public hearing, regardless of anything else for Paul? Thanks, Paul. So we will entertain a motion to close. How do we want to do this? Do we want to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Yep.
Second.
Right. Okay, motion has been made by Councilor Kerry and seconded by Councilor Camp to close the public hearing. Any other comments or questions? Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. On to new business item number two, and that's the lifting of the hiring freeze about our professional service position. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Good night now. Diane?
The front counter here at City Hall is our first level of customer service, and due to the volumes, we need at least two people there at all times to answer all the phones, take care of the customer requests. And, it's a real rough environment at times. Sometimes it's well, customer service, sometimes it's just feature fans. And sometimes it's very challenging and difficult because we have utility customers that very often come in that are very angry and or have very sad stories in their water is being shut off. And so it's a difficult position to be in, and our goal is to have everyone leave feeling like satisfied that they got a good answer and that they got what they wanted or as best the city could provide for them. And so you have to have really strong customer service skills and a certain type of personality to be able to handle the front counter. I had two people in the position. One is on leave right now, and the other one has turned in her resignation. She's moving to Arizona. So I would really like council to lift this free. So I'm looking at it as an opportunity to get someone with really strong skills in this area. I want someone who's intelligent so they can learn, they have some computer skills, because there is some data processing involved. But mainly it's the customer service skills that I'm looking for. And so I'm hoping council will allow the hiring freeze to be lifted so I can replace this individual that's leaving.
Diane, we're also asking that before we can have the position filled a couple weeks prior to the departure of the individual so that we can cross-train or allow to utilize her experience and understanding to help train the new individual that comes. So we're not only asking to lift the hiring freeze to hire one individual, but to do that 2 weeks earlier than when the expected departure date is.
February 14th is when I've kind of set in my head with Diane about trying to get somebody in to start by.
So there
would be a minor impact to the budget except for the individual who's on leave. Is
yeah,
not?
That's correct. She's
yeah, that's what we're, there would be no impact to the budget because the customer service person that's on leave right now is not collecting a salary.
Okay.
So we would use that salary dollar.
That one's on the budget.
That person is on
yes.
The budget.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's actually a savings, right?
Yes. Councilmember Williams?
Yeah, I just wanted to make those clarifications that it's not a new position, it's a budgeted position. So with that in mind, I'd like to make the motion to lift the hiring freeze for a replacement of one customer service specialist position. Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Williams and seconded by Councilmember Herring to lift the hiring freeze for a replacement of one customer service specialist position, anticipated date of February 14th. Do you mind if I add that friendly amendment?
Do not.
Okay, any other questions for Diane or for Ben? All right, seeing no lights, we will take a vote on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving quiet right along. We are going to open this time now for comments from citizens. This time is set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue except for the quasi-judicial
that you guys are Twitter friendly and Facebook friendly too, and I was thinking we could build off of that since we have two camera iPods, one right there and one right behind it. I was thinking we could possibly stream the city council meetings on the computers that you're sitting behind right now, and that's just a good suggestion, and I hope you guys take a liking to it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Did we get your address?
You have it already. Sorry.
Anybody else in the audience who might address council at this time? Okay, all right. Well, there, we're going to recess the meeting now and immediately reconvene in study session and move on to the first study session topic. That is our reserve policy for city funds.
Before we get into reserve policy, I just have two things I want to tell council. First of all, as of today, you can now pay your utility bill online on our website. And we just got it working today, so I encourage you to try it, tell everybody you know about it. I'm really excited about it. This is the preliminary, we're doing baby steps. This is the preliminary where all you can do is pay. You can pay with Visa, MasterCard, or Discover, or electronic check. And so, eventually, we're going to get a different online program where you can actually view your account history. You can make changes to update things on your account, and you can also request to have your monthly bill sent to you electronically. So that, I think, will be a real nice for customers, because a lot of times people could just call and say, what's my balance? You know, when did my payment get in? But this way, they can look online and see. And so I'm kind of excited about that. That's going to be nice. But right now, you can just pay bills, and so that's very cool. The other thing is, at next council meeting, I'm going to be bringing forward a purchase card program. Right now, the city has credit cards that we use, and I want to do away with the credit cards and replace them with purchase cards because the city gets a rebate on the purchases that we make. And it's a piggybacking on the state's contract for purchasing cards and procurement cards. And in order to do it, I also have to update the purchasing policy. So I'm going to be bringing forward two things. One, to okay the P-card program, and the other, a review of our purchasing policy, which will probably take a little bit longer. I'm thinking the procurement card is kind of a no-brainer, something I'm hoping. But the policy, you may have some opinions on. I have some opinions on it, what I think should be changed. So that, I just want to give you a heads up. That's what's coming up next week. Now, the reserve policy. There's a history on this. Last year, the Finance and Admin Committee took on a reserve policy because we wanted to protect the city's funds. Being in a hard economic times, made us realize that we really need something formal and in writing that will protect the city in hard times of not being in the position of being without cash. And so the reserve policy is to show good stewardship of public funds, and it tells how much we should have on reserve and under what circumstances we can use those reserves. There will be restricted fund balances, which means they can only be used through council action. And so in your packets, there is a proposed reserve policy. Mm-hmm. And I'll just quickly go over. This is what the committee came up with. And so it's before you today. There was a lot of work went into creating this, a lot of discussion and looking at past practices, looking at other cities' policies. And so what we came up with is this policy, and the first section is just definitions, and then when you get the policy itself, the first portion is allowable uses and when it can and cannot be used, and then this third section is targeted reserve balances. And after much discussion and looking at other cities, we decided on 17% of operating general fund, and once that is up and running, a contingency fund will be created, and that's a for council for emergencies, and RCW's govern how much could be in that fund, and that's what we're citing, the RCW. Then there's a capital improvement project fund we want to reserve for 0.42% of our fuel tax has to be put into reserve for parks and trails. And so this recognizes that and says that we need to set that aside and have to use it within 10 years. The utilities are all 12% of the operating budget expenses for the capital funds of the utilities. We're saying 1% of net fixed assets. And then for the internal service funds, we're saying an amount equal to the replacement schedules. And the facility funds, 10% of fixed assets. And the risk management, 1% of the current year's general fund budget. And sick leave, an amount equal to the average sick leave payout for the preceding 10 years. And so that's the policy, and I can go into more detail if you like. What I would like to focus on is what I just handed out to you is an update that you had of the original one in your packets, but this is an updated target reserve. If we adopted this policy, we could adopt the policy tomorrow, next week, if you like. But in order to do it, some of the funds would not meet the policy. The first one being the general fund. Right now, you can see on this spreadsheet that I just handed out that we have restricted funds in the general fund of $726,000 and ending fund balance of $305,000. Now, if we were to implement this reserve policy, our restricted fund would need to go up to $1.7 million, which would leave our ending fund balance $722,000 in the hole. So we can't And so what I'm recommending is when we adopt the reserve policy, we give implementation dates for specific funds. I'm suggesting, but this is going to be council's decision, I'm suggesting saying that we'll implement the general fund reserve in 10 years, provided we put that we add $75,000 each year to it. That's my suggestion. Council may want something different. The contingency fund, we only have to do, the policy says we only have to do it as funds are available, so no problem on that. The other ones that don't make it are highlighted in yellow, and I'm saying the one for IT services, implement it in 5 years, but add $16,000 to it each year, and that way we'll get there. For the equipment and fleet management, I'm saying we could probably implement it by next year because it's only $60,000 short. And the facilities management, I'm recommending implementing it in 10 years, but putting aside $225,000 a year, and that's a lot. Granted, it's some utilities, but it's some general fund too, and we all know how the general fund is hurting, so that's kind of aggressive what I put there. The employee sick leave reserve is short $5,000, so I'm just saying we could implement it next year. I'm sure we could come up with $5,000 by then. So this is what I'm coming up with as a recommendation for implementation dates. Do you want me to discuss in more detail any of the policy or anything about the implementation? I know I'm throwing a lot at you all at once. Do you want?
Councilmember
Pettit. Thank you. Thane, I have a question about the implementation of, as far as the general fund reserve.
Yeah.
So we came up with the 70% of budget operating expenditures, and that would take us 10 years then to possibly get to that amount to implement it.
Yeah.
Is there any sense in setting the amount lower, a lower percentage, just so we start implementation now? So we have a reserve policy,
and then
changing it as we're able to serve. I guess
absolutely, yeah.
For me, looking at it, I think it's important to start setting a reserve policy. And if we wait 10 years to set it, but we might never set it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, just that if we lower the percentage now and start reserve, setting something, and then as we're able to add to it, then increase the percentage.
funds, and for the general fund, it'll take effect this year, provided this much is set aside each year. You know, spell it out when they will be implemented.
Yeah, and I guess my question goes back to the general fund reserve won't be implemented until we get up to this amount of 1.7, that's
so
10 years away.
So you want to implement it now and then adjust the policy?
Possibly. I'm throwing that out, that might be a way to force us to set it as a reserve.
Yeah.
Because then the policy takes effect.
Exactly, yes, it does.
So that's, it's kind of, you know, do we set it instead of a lower amount and start the reserve? Because right now this is our fund balance, but it's not necessarily set at the policy, in other words, this reserve policy.
Correct.
It's just our fund balance.
Yes. We just arbitrarily reserve it.
Exactly. So that would force it to be, you know, in alignment with our reserve policy.
And today the 7.6 is part of our rainy day, not rainy day, it's our
revenue
stabilization fund, but there's really no policy. And so over the last couple of years, we've had a number of conversations. Well, let's use this. You know, let's not use that. Let's, you know, and so really today it's creating that policy, what it's going to be. We start at the amounts that we have today, as Diane has outlined. And of course, part of that policy work towards building a percentage. We do have a policy of 10% today, do we not?
No.
I thought we had, or 5%.
It was written, but it was never adopted.
Right.
Okay.
And that goes back to the general fund, that rainy day. You know, then the discussion of using it to supplement operational expenses, you know, that would help us, you know, possibly not use that fund. And I know people had concerns in budgeting time of being able to access that, and we follow the reserve policy for that.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I have some questions on some of the history of this. So you said that we looked at five different cities? That's what I read in the...
Yeah.
What cities?
I knew someone was going to ask that, so I brought a lot and my whole file on it. In 2006, the City of Monroe had an ad hoc finance reserves committee. In 1986, the City of Monroe had a proposed resolution on a fiscal policy. And then the cities we looked at were City of Mukilteo, City of Tukwila, City of Bellevue, City of Bainbridge Island, and City of Duval.
When did we look at those cities? What years? I heard
last year.
Last year. Get a copy who said comparison.
Of the comparison?
Yeah,
great. Yeah, you'll see that they're all over the board.
Okay. Yeah, my questions immediately went to, okay, what were the five cities? And then I wanted to dig behind threshold dollar amounts around the ones that we, you know, that immediately, hey, we need to implement this in 5 years, implement 2013. And my mind is, okay, well, what was the rationale behind the dollar, the percentage amount for those specific funds? So, he asked, hey, do you want any more detail? That's instantly where I'm looking. Okay, I want more detail on this. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why we're making that recommendation?
I can tell you.
Okay, it'd be great.
Yeah, that's good to know. But, first of all, the general fund, that's our main checkbook. That's our operating fund. And the rule of thumb for personal finances is that you should have 3 months' salary in the bank. But for the general fund, not so much. For the government general fund, the argument being that property taxes are and utility taxes, which are two of the three main streams are property tax, sales tax, and utility tax. Well, property and utility taxes are pretty much guaranteed. Property tax, there's lien rights, so it's like we know we're going to get that money, unless everyone all at once goes bankrupt. And same with utility taxes. Unless everyone decides not to have any utility have guaranteed revenue streams. It's not like the person who's worried about being laid off from their job. We're not going to lose our revenue. So for that, rationalization is that's why only 2 months operating expenditures are needed for the general fund rather than 3 months. And you guys feel free to chime in if I've said anything out of turn here. The contingency fund is just something that's nice to have. It's so once you get into a good enough fiscal position, you want to have a council. It's called a council contingency fund. And it's so when council members do come up with, you know, we need to expand the dog park, you know, or something like that, you know, pet projects of council, if you have the funds, it doesn't interfere with the operating expenditures of the city. So that's why that fund is like after we've funded everything else, we'll build on this one. The reserve for paths and trails, that's just by state statute. We have to do that. The water, you know, the utility funds for your operating funds, we said 45 days of operating expense or 12% of the budgeted operating expense. And there again, the utilities operating revenue, they're pretty much guaranteed. I don't think everyone's going to quit using water or quit washing their toilets overnight. You know, if something catastrophic happened where no one was using utilities, we'd have bigger problems than around. And so, because that's pretty much guaranteed, we figured we could have a smaller percent for those, a month and a half. The one for the capital funds, a minimum of 1% of net fixed assets or larger if contracted or budgeted. If we have big projects coming on, like right now we're doing the wastewater treatment upgrade, we'll have more money in restricted funds because we recently issued debt and that money is restricted. So for that part, we'll always be covered. The rest is mainly for the 1% of capital assets is just a rule of thumb that's commonly used, and it's just because if something happens that we're not prepared for. Usually we like to think that our guys are on top of everything and monitoring everything so that we won't have something catastrophic happen. But if a major main broke that we didn't see it coming and something happened and our insurance didn't cover it, our insurance usually covers things, but very unlikely that we would ever use that. It would have to be pretty remarkable to ever tap into that. So 1% of net fixed assets, not that much, but it gives you that can sleep well at night feeling. And then for
the info and technology services fund?
Yeah, about equal to the replacement schedule. We take all our, this is the same for vehicle and Infotech. We take all our assets that we have, say, in Infotech fund, we figure out, okay, we have this many laptops. We're going to replace how many each year? We have this many servers. We're going to replace how many each year? If you're going to replace a server once every 5 years, you want to put away one-fifth each year so that when it fails or it's obsolete, you can replace it. And so that's how we calculate the replacement schedules. And so that's just so we always have enough money on hand to replace our assets as they become obsolete or fail. And so that's, you know, kind of straightforward. And
so that's the same, okay, on the equipment and fleet management,
mm-hmm.
That's the same.
Yeah, we've got all our vehicles listed. And what happens with the vehicles, just so you know how thrifty Jake is with his vehicles, on his schedule, he's got a list of thresholds for, like, vehicles. Oh, he's also got his sweepers and other things. But all of his vehicles are monitored by allowed hours, allowed miles, and allowed years. And those are all either or, like allowed hours or allowed miles or allowed years. And he has a schedule for each type of equipment. A police patrol car has 95 hours allowed, has 92,000 miles allowed, has 8 years allowed. So if a particular police car hits any one of those three thresholds, not all of them, but just any one, then the vehicle is assessed for replacement, whether it needs to be replaced or not, and a determination is made looking at both the individual vehicle and the entire fleet overall. For For instance, in recent years, we've laid off a bunch of employees, so there are two trucks in public works that we're retiring and we're not going to replace because we have less personnel, and things like that. So even though it hits the threshold, that he still assesses if we really need to replace it or not. But that being said, he's got a whole schedule where he lists everything out and how much he needs each year to cover it so that when it does die, he's got it covered.
I saw the employee sick leave one in there.
Yeah.
For facility management fund, did you already know that one?
No, 1% of the current year's general fund expenditure budget. This fund is not used very much. In fact, in the last 10 years, it was only used last year to the tune of $5,000.
You're talking about the risk management reserve?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Which one did you want? The facilities?
Facilities management.
Oh, 10% of fixed assets. This is for major capital maintenance. And in the past, we have been very remiss in any capital maintenance. A lot of our carpet is held together with duct tape. The police building has its original carpet from, I don't know, years ago. And there's a big beam that we talked about earlier in the budget season on City Hall that's failing. And so we've historically not done our capital maintenance. It was like, well, we have the money, so we're going to defer. And so this will force us to start putting some money away to so that when these things happen, we'll be able to take care of it. We will be able to take care of leaking roofs and things like that. As you see, it's $2.3 million, but I bet if we went through and added up all the repairs we really need to do in our buildings, it would be more than this amount of money. But it's a start. It probably shouldn't be much more, but it's a start.
So the 10, maybe that was in the the 10% we came up with just was so we could get a start. Mm-hmm. Okay. Again.
Because in the past we haven't tracked capital repairs that well because they've been so sporadic and we've just kind of scrounged money together where we could to do it. And so this, we're hoping to get on a more formal plan where we have stuff scheduled and where we know things are going to give out, like HVAC systems. We know like this is only good for 3 more years. We're going to have to replace it. Like that.
I guess maybe one of the things on this one I would personally like to see is, you know, what type of deferred, you know, maintenance are we looking at? Are we not really being realistic to ourselves that we should be putting more away in this particular, I mean, whether we can is a different question. But
yeah, I don't think we can.
But it would be good to know, you know, hey, how far are we, you know, behind? We're on this particular one, we're just kind of, you know, and I get it. You know, we need to start somewhere. But you know, what really are our capital demands?
I could ask Jacob to do a survey. Do you think he could do that?
Well, I guess it also depends on what our goal is. Because we do have the, you know, the plan to rebuild this building and do the extra shops back there. So is that, you know, the direction council wants to go, or is it just maintenance of this facility to keep it from falling down around us? So I guess we need a little bit more direction on what our goal is, what we're looking to do before we can tell you how much it's going to cost.
Well, I think we could probably start with the maintenance and operation, you know, the maintenance of our operations, and as a starting point, and then have, you know, the total expenditures if we're doing the TI improvements that we're looking at.
Okay, because a lot of these costs would be, you know, prorating out stuff that we can do.
Well, Brad, to your, you know, I was not aware we were planning on rebuilding this facility, so that's my take there. But if that's the case, then were we setting this? Is this going towards a future building? Those type of questions.
This would not go towards a future building. This is strictly capital maintenance.
On the current structure.
On whatever current structure we have. Once we built a new building, it would go towards that.
So then, really, it would just be an evaluation on, you know, hey, these are the capital projects that would make sense that we would maintain. We're going to not do these because it would be, you know, just pouring money into it. Because when we rebuild, I mean, that project doesn't make sense if we're going to rebuild. It would really be taking a look just at the projects that, you know, these are the ones that make sense. We need to do this maintenance, you know, while we're
there like a schedule of needed repairs?
Yeah, it just would be, I would be interested to see how close we are.
Okay. Yeah.
And, I mean, if we're implementing 10 years, maybe I need to ask questions too on what's the timeline for the rebuild of the structure. Do we even have a timeline?
It depends on the economy.
No, we've got a master plan, so you can probably look at it.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a campus plan that city administrator Bradley was trying to get. I think that was done in 2002. Yeah. We haven't moved very far.
Well, I guess, you know, that's why I'm looking at, you know, if we're looking at a 10-year time period on this, I would want to match up, you know, what's the long term, especially if we're entertaining a new building infrastructure. I probably should match that up.
Okay.
Before we really kind of lock down what we're going to sign in this fund. That would be my...
I can ask Jake to prepare a schedule of needed repairs and maintenance right now that we need.
Yeah.
Would that be
good?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks. But I just want to point out these fund balances we're trying to get to, that's barring that we don't use any. Like this one says implemented 10 years at 225,000 to get to the 2.3.
Uh-huh.
That's saying we're going to save 225,000 a year for 10 years.
And not use it
for 10 years. So just remember that, because part of this is you're setting aside reserve funds. So the quicker we can get to where we want to be, I mean, the reserves are meant to be used for these specific, but as you're using, you're getting it back up to its amount that you want it to be, but then you're using it, replenishing it. So this is saying for 10 years for capital or for facilities management fund, we're not going to use anything. We're just going to stop away $225,000 a year and not do any, which to me is not realistic. So I think that's something to look at, is how realistic is that? Do we need to lower our standard? I need to go back to Jason's point of timeline and just using these funds. I just...
Okay. Yeah.
I'll start with you. Yeah. No, I would get that. That's really what I'm trying to get, is more just kind of a clearer, you know, clearer picture on
that. Absolutely.
I think that's...
Okay.
But when I look at the other... You know, ones where we can implement immediately. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, taking a look at this is if we have the ability to do it on certain funds now, I would think we should do that. But on some of the other ones, we need a little more clarification or information on. So maybe, I don't know if it's two different you know, directions, but that would be my thoughts. Thanks.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple things I was looking toward here. Being on that committee, unfunded mandates, I'm looking for where we're going to be dealing with those. Is that one time? Is that under policy one time? You know, we get something happens and we have to deal with it. It's not a budgeted item.
It's in here. I got to find it. It's under policy where the allowed uses of designated services. Non-budgeted required expenditures would be it.
So 1AI would be unfunded.
Yeah.
I was just looking for that terminology.
Yeah, because that's something we wouldn't have budgeted for, but also we're required to do it.
Okay. I guess I appreciate Councilmember Kovacs' move to have the number be smaller and move it forward. Even if we do put $75,000 away a year, I mean, to me, that is implementing something, because we're not going to use it, right? You know, you got to not touch that for 10 years, and I think that's just good practice. I mean, you try and do that at home. Doing that in government as well, so either way, quite frankly, is fine. I think it gets us to the same spot. You know, if we're going to put those specific restrictions on that 75 year, we're not going to touch it. I guess my other question on that would be: can you do that with one resolution, or would we have to do a different resolution each year to change it, or would you add into some sort of an aspect of, and we'll just increase? It'll be 75 the first year, 150 the next year. All the way. I'm just trying to think through how we would actually accomplish that if we were going to.
In the resolution, you would say you're adopting the policy as attached, and then the second section in the same resolution, you'd say implementation schedule. And it says all funds will, implementation of this policy will take effect immediately for these funds.
Yeah, so, and now I would be looking for that. That's going to be quite a resolution. It's going to have a whole bunch of whereas, I guess.
We can make it real clear, though. We'll make it very clear so people will go, well, I thought they meant this, well, I thought they. We can spell it.
I did have a little trouble reading through this first, just trying to, you know, figure out which one was which. And I do appreciate the study session so we can get all these questions answered. Councilmember Gamble had already kind of wanted to walk through, so I also had kind of wanted to walk through each one. And again, the 17% from general fund was from the other cities that you looked at?
No, I can tell you right now. City of Mukilteo does 17%. City of Tukwila just puts 1% of their revenues every year added to the reserves. City of Bellevue does 15% of the revenues. City of Bainbridge Island does 5% of the revenues. City of Duval does 17% of the expenditures.
That'd be a handy sheet to have.
Okay, I'll send this out to everybody.
Love to take a look at that. It explains each more, the funds a little bit more. And I appreciate your questions as well as the same ones that I have. And then, so the contingency fund is per the RCW's. That we have to do. So pretty much each one of these, so the water fund, the 45 days operating expense, I think, again, that comes from kind of from the matrix.
And a lot of discussion. Let me see what page
here. And that'll be my question actually on each of these. I'm kind of wanting to know what
They were all over the board. Like, Mukilteo doesn't have a reserve policy for their utilities. Tukwila says 20% of previous year operating and capital expenses. City of Bellevue has a dollar amount in a calculated formula that they use. City of Bainbridge Island has 60 days operating expenses. City of Duval has a flat fee of $600,000. So they're all.
Just kind of broad. Again, appreciate all the work that the committee did putting this together.
Another one about the 45 days. It was past practice. Wasn't it past practice, Brad? Do you guys usually keep 45 days?
Right, and then also the bond departments, too.
Well, yeah.
Just 30 days, usually.
Yeah, we have to have meet bond requirements. And it even says restricted for debt, as determined by lending agreements, frequently 1.25 coverage ratio on revenue bonds. So we do issue revenue bonds, so that means our revenues, our operating revenues have to be 1.25 times. That forces us to keep that much aside.
Let's see if I may see if I can clarify something that I might have heard or might not have heard. Councilmember Cudamack has suggested that rather than have the goal of 17%, that we lower it so that we can implement it today. It sounded as though that Councilmember Gearing might have been suggested that we not lower that, but have that
started to implement the policy.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it, you know, and so, you know, it kind of depends on how you want it to look, right? If, you know, by implementing a policy and we've declared, you know, this is what we're going to do, that, you know, forcing the issue accomplishes the same thing.
Good.
Yeah, sure.
I think the policy then would be that we're going to put $75,000 away until we reach this amount. It wouldn't be that we're doing 17%. That's where I see the difference. If we say we're going to do 17%, it can't be implemented until we have that 17%. At least that's how I'm kind of looking at it. Or if we say for the next so many, you know, we're going to put $75,000 away every year until we hit this point, to me that's implementing it right away too.
And that's
so,
what I'm talking
yeah.
about. Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of how I read it. If we say we want
okay.
to get to, if we want
so
our policy,
on the resolution.
Well, it's just, you know, how you word it. If you say our policy needs to be 70% of our general, you know, our general fund, our the fund out, it needs to be 70%. We're not there yet. We won't be there for 10 more years.
Yeah,
so do we, is that, you're saying implementation will happen until 10 years because we're not at that amount. Or do you say instead of 70%, 17%, that we will save $75,000 a year starting now? You've already implemented it right now because you're setting aside $75,000.
Okay. So on the policy, what does the policy itself say?
Well, the policy you have right here is 2 months operation, 70% of budget
yeah.
expenditures. We're not there yet, and we're not going to be there until 10 years. So you phrase it here saying we would implement this policy or this portion, this fund, in 10 years when we get to that amount. Instead of that, it might be we are going to set aside $75,000 a year every year,
okay.
and that can be implemented immediately. That's where I see the difference.
Okay.
I mean, I could be totally incorrect. That's just
okay.
how I read it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I would prefer, I guess, to implement some reserve policy on the general fund sooner than later, even if we're not up to the amount that we want to
okay.
get.
Yeah, there would have to be a section saying that the council recognizes that the general fund will be out of compliance with the policy, but the council requires this amount to be put aside each year.
Yeah, that was the point I was trying to make, that if we limit it just to the 75%
or
75,000 a year, we don't know where we're in for 10 years. We don't know what that ending balance might be because we might use something. So I think that there still needs to be the target of 17% as part of the resolution, knowing that we're going to be out of compliance, but in the case of a windfall, which, you know, it can happen we need to have a policy in place to say, okay, here's that money it's going into so that we're in compliance with this policy recommendation of 17%. Or council can just go and go, now we're not going to do it, we're just going to continue with 75,000 a year. And so.
If I still
yes, you do.
I think we're all trying to get to the same place. It's just figuring out the best way to do it. I guess something that would be more helpful for the next time we see this, at least for me, is some level of question I'm asking are the rationale behind each of these numbers. I know some of that is in the matrix, but actually, you know, rationale for this was we like the city of Mukilteo's, you know, best or whatnot. And I know you guys went through that, not having been involved in those discussions. Waterfront, well, okay, we came up with 45 days because it's past practice or because it's this.
Yeah.
When the next time that this comes back, I would love to just be able to refer back to that as well. Why do you guys do this? And then I can answer the question as well. Oh, because it's past practice or, you know, or we like the city of X, Y, and Z's version of this, that kind of thing. It would be my preference to see a rationale for why we came up with this on each one. Not doubting, just knowing the decision-making
process.
Want
me to just write something up for you on each fund and say why?
Otherwise, I want, you know, go through each fund and ask the same question. Well, how'd you come, you know, how did we get here?
Specifically, when I'm looking at like the five different cities, and you know, we went through those numbers on the chart there. You know, Mukilteo was at 17%, Bainbridge was at 5%, Bellevue at 5%. I mean, they all had reasons why, you know, that they chose to go the way they did, and we're choosing to model Mukilteo. And it would just be nice for my own frame of mind to know that I can speak to each one. Okay, we looked. this way, but we ultimately chose to go in this direction, and here's the reason why, and we feel it's superior because X. Does that make sense?
Okay. I don't know what the rationale was of the other cities, well, except Duval, because I was
finance director. We check one off.
But
to these tapes to figure out how we made that decision and put a little bit more
you're saying, because we were talking about our current recession that we were in, and when do you dip into it and when do you not? And our idea was, if it's a recession of less than 2 years, you can dip into it. If it's more than 2 years, then that's the new norm.
Yeah, my point is that in 2007, nobody knew that it was going to only be, you know, that it wasn't going to be a 2 year recession. It was
so,
a 5 year recession.
That means, like, in 2007, 2008, you could have dipped into it, but 2009, you could not.
Correct. Yeah. So, some clarification on that. On section B there, the next one down, termination of revenue sources, emergency financing, that makes sense. How long can we use something and call it emergency financing? And is that the mayor's discretion? Is that council's discretion? You know, because when it gets into budget season and we've got people out in the audience and everybody's clamoring for their piece of the budget,
yeah,
it's real easy to say, well, let's call that emergency. So I'd like to see some more teeth, if you will, or guidelines into how we decide something falls into emergency financing.
Yeah, it would have to pass the giggle test, but...
Which is easier to pass during budget session than it is.
You're right. Okay. So define emergency.
Yeah, emergency financing. And then under section 5, it says reserves shall be replenished at a rate that does not impair established programs or create undue hardship. Again, that's very vague. It leaves it open to interpretation. So one of the comments that, you know, Councilmember Gearing and Cutback were talking about, that we don't want to put a policy in and then it be immediately in violation. So maybe right in that section, we can say that, you know, this is the budget guidelines for how we're going to get these funds up, you know, up to the balances that they need to be, so that future councils can see right in there how we're going to help budget. And also it could include the section as to the mayor's point of, you know, do we put something in for if we sell a piece of property or we get a windfall of money, is that typically used to retire debt or is it used to get these balances up to a, you know, reasonable level?
Okay, so the reserve shall be replenished at a rate that does not impair established programs. So you want me to, I'm sorry, say
again? Well, again, that point 5 is extremely vague. So
okay,
when it comes budget time, again, everything's going to be an undue hardship, so we can't, you know, or we have to use it, but we can't budget for it. I just don't want to have those discussions just push down the road, because we're making a very vague statement there. So perhaps having the budget guidelines in that section that where you've included on here, you know, implement $75,000 a year or some guidelines that help council determine, so when we get ready for budget season, we already know we're short in these funds. So there's already some guidelines in place that will make that part of the budget discussion go a lot faster.
Okay. Because the policy is supposed to be like an internal type document. So I can say guidelines for replenishing the funds, but putting in how we're initially funding it, I think should be on the resolution. But I'll figure something out, and then you can tell me if you like it or not. Okay.
And then on the spreadsheet, I think having the utilities split out from that would make sense, because those skew the numbers. You know, the overall numbers, like you were saying, utilities are fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are skewed because we did the bonds, and so it looks like we've got a lot more money in there. And, you know, it seems like the things that we're typically concerning ourselves with are the general fund, the contingency fund, you know, the top 3 and the bottom 5.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe just split those into 2 different groups. So we're going to be focusing more, I would assume, as a council, on the non-utility fund items.
Yeah.
And my last question is, does it make sense in some of these funds to separate the balances between what's required and, you know, by law versus what, as a council, we want to go above and beyond? So, for instance, if our policy, you know, we looked at those numbers that you presented to the committee, and they were all over the board. And, I mean, I think we all struggled because, again, some have higher in their contingency fund.
So you're...
Let me ask it a different way.
Yeah.
The general fund requirement, is that required by law that we get to that 15%?
No, that's...
Is there anything, any number of that that's required by law?
None.
So it's 100% council?
Yes.
Okay. And so, as a group, we could decide then that maybe the norm we want would be 8%, but we would leave, that's the have to have, and the nice to have might be 15%. So we could talk about it in two stages to address the comments that council member kind of was making. I don't know if that helps or not. I'm just trying to
Okay.
as a suggestion.
I can break it out of
a minimum and a you know.
Okay, I get what you're saying now. Sorry, a little slow, but I got it. Okay, yeah, I can break that out.
Anything else?
Yes, Councilmember Kevin.
Thank you. Then where are the funds going to come from to fund these reserves? And I guess why I'm asking that is I read the Capital Improvement Projects Fund, and it says reserve for passing trails, and it has, you know, the motor vehicle fuel tax. I mean, I assume the general fund is obviously from the general fund, correct? From
yes.
Sales tax and that.
Yes.
But, for example, the equipment and fleet management fund, so that's for equipment and vehicles. Is that police also?
All the internal service funds get their money from fees charged to the other funds of services.
Okay, so
and
the amounts
so,
that go in there are a percentage of...
So on the replacement schedule, they look at how many assets belong to police,
okay.
How many assets belong to water.
Because that was my question. Obviously, you know, public works, or sewer, water, those type of things are separate, and certain utility taxes have to go into those funds, correct? Like water has to stay in the water fund?
The utility tax is charged by the general.
But is it
the water rates, sewer rates go to the water fund, sewer
water,
fund.
Sewer.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm saying. So they go there. So when you take, when you're funding, I guess, vehicles for that department, is that separate? Does that make sense? Is that separate? Like, this is, I see a big fund that can fund all of our fleet and vehicles.
Yeah.
But do we separate it out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure
the
that
fund balance in, say, like the equipment and fleet, there's the restricted, it has ending fund balance, which is the unrestricted.
Right.
It has restricted fund balance, general fund, restricted fund balance.
Okay, that's what I was asking, because it seems like you have to restrict
yes.
it out per,
it
whether it's water, sewer, that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's already done. Okay. And then my other comment was just, is there anywhere that says in here, I know we want to, like for the general fund, what's written in this policy is 70%. We've had talked about whether it's we want to go that route, but 17% is what we want to get to. Does that mean we wouldn't use any of it until we get to that 17%? There's, you've listed out a policy of how to, what to use it for, but is there anywhere in this policy that says, You need to get to that fund balance before you tap into it.
We could put that into the resolution.
I was just curious if it was
yeah.
in there, because I don't see how...
I don't think that should be in the policy, but in the resolution.
But maybe in the resolution.
Yeah.
Because, again, I don't know how realistic it is to save for, to get, like, we might never get up to this 17%, because we're going to, over 10 years, possibly have to use it.
Uh-huh.
So that's my only last comment. Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to thank you, Diane, and the staff, and everyone that helped out with that. It's obviously you've done a lot of research, and I think we're close. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're almost there.
Something that I might ask of council is, with next week, the
Councilmember Wayne's comments sparked another thought pattern. I'm not going to extend the conversation. Item number five, reserves at the rate at which they'll be replenished and the order in which they'll be replenished and the windfall comes in and in what order and how does that happen? Is that something that belongs here? I think that it might, and if it does, that could be a study session topic all its own. I mean, I have some opinions on paying off debt first, and some other people may feel differently, but you know, it's I would want some more detail there as well.
It's something to always put in the policy. You know, the policy is a council policy, so whatever you want in the policy, you know, if you want to say any windfalls that the city receives or bequeaths, you know, or that the city receives, otherwise designated, should, you know, you can do that.
I don't even know that I'd want to limit it to windfalls, but just in general, what's the
large donations?
That type of stuff made perhaps unexpected, you know, or whatnot. But it's thing about paying off debt, and always a good idea to think about that first. So. Okay, and the other one, let's see, Vector truck. So which one, if we needed a new Vector truck and it was a down year, which one of those funds does this come out of? And is that equipment and fleet management, and how are we going to do it? Is that a tap into it? Type of an event. We had lots of Vector truck discussions just a couple of years
ago.
Well,
if we follow this and put away enough money each year so that we meet the reserve policy, when the Vector truck fails, we should be okay.
So it happens next year, we don't have the money yet. It's kind of business as usual that we're just figuring as to whether or not, kind of exactly where we were before.
Yeah.
The goal being having enough money to implement in 2013.
Mentioned the finance monthly report spreadsheet that Diane put in there. Anything
basic fund accounting. I just thought, since we have some new members, it might be good to just talk about the basics.
Thank you.
This is a great little recording here. Did Jacob put that together on the wastewater treatment?
No, that's the from the contractor.
Oh, that's from
the contractor. Yeah, that's our monthly report they're required to give us.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, love the pictures, the big hole. All right. Well, any further reports this evening, Jeff? Evening tonight? Paul? Chief? Ben? Brad? Diane, no. Yeah. Okay, well, we will talk about our January 17th.
Thank you, Mayor. Look at the draft January 17th agenda. We have a confirmation of the Jamie Mendel date. We have confirmed mayor's appointments to Ethics Board and Park Board members. Consent agenda, and then under final action, this is just some housekeeping items that we take care of the first of every year, the appointment to city representatives to various boards and the like. I added the number 2 under final action, and staff and I can work on that a little bit more in regards to the moratorium on the cannabis collective guarding that we talked about this evening. We have the draft agenda for February 7th. And under executive session, there's a potential of executive session pertaining to pricing and profit.
I just wanted to draw attention to the February 7th meeting. That is going to be a joint meeting between council and planning commission for both chamber and for Dream. We have representative here from Dream tonight. I would personally like to ask that you appear that night. I think Brad, Jeff, Paul will have an opening discussion. It will be quite exciting for downtown. It will need council support and by way of policy. But one of the more exciting discussions that I've had with those gentlemen as it relates to our future, as it relates to supporting downtown, as it relates to meeting a whole plethora of requirements of the GMA. I won't give any more away because I think these gentlemen will have very exciting information to share to both council and the community at large. And so look forward to that for the forward to that meeting. Specifically with the planning commission, would ask council to be thinking of this year's docket. We're gonna have a review of this year's docket. But I think what planning commissioners would definitely like to see is council direction, clarification, so that, and we don't need to go into any detail, but we're talking in broad terms here, so that planning commission doesn't head down a trail that council is not supportive of. So let's get started off on the right foot together here.
Thank you. With regard to that night on the 7th, we're having a joint meeting with the planning commission. It might make sense to move the ethics code discussion to the next night, since it is just a discussion. Moving that to the 14th instead, I think, given under new business, but it's really a study session kind of topic anyway. Unless there was a specific reason
well,
to get it on the 7th.
I debated on that, and I just didn't want to bring volunteer citizens in case they have Valentine's Day plans.
Oh, I
didn't
know the date.
So,
why are we meeting that night?
But we'll be meeting
on
I think it's the 19th, and I'll check to see what date works best.
You
have to
meet on the 28th and shut it all out, and then you kind of guess it didn't work. That's how 14th works. It doesn't. What's that say? Rehearsal start. So, you're saying you prefer not to move it before?
Well, I don't mind if they are available.
Is there any? When is the ethics board meeting in February?
Feb- February, it would be the fourth Thursday.
So even if we moved it to the week after, if we moved to the 21st instead of the 14th.
Oh, sure. I don't have a problem. I just felt like there was a feeling of urgency on it, so I was trying to make it as soon as possible.
And I'd ask that we get it back on the agenda to talk about it. Seventh, it sounds like we have some other really important stuff that we want to be focused on, which is the only reason I'll bring it up. Otherwise, it's fine and stuff.
Sure, I'll check.
The Epic Board may be here too, and that just seems right.
I'll check those dates with them on January 19th.
So, yeah, so I guess if we don't want to do it on Valentine's Day, I'll
important and exciting, what the word is, it just the discussions and having these gentlemen and myself, the discussion that we had with regards to some opportunities and how they will have an impact on our city. I think it's very exciting. The council may completely different, but it's going to have, I think there's a lot of potential, both in traffic, improving traffic, supporting downtown, GMA, so we're in a big picture here, all the details can follow, but we provided some overviews prior to the discussion on the 2012 docket for the planning commission. Mr. Bradley, anything else? Councilmember Hamlet?
Just want to remind you that next week, that will be at that foster care conference.